Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. If you are listening to this on the day that it launches, it's January 1st, 2020. Can you believe it? Happy New Year. I hope you are having one last relaxing day with friends and family. And I hope we have an appropriate episode for you. Today's guest is Anya Rock, CEO at Healthy Living with Anya. She specializes in helping people find the magical space between hustle and flow. She has a really unique background. We get into a little bit of that on the episode. But I thought we would kick off 2020 with a mindset episode and help you kick off the year in the right place and help everyone get ready to achieve their big goals for 2020. So thanks for joining us. Here is my conversation with Anya. Thank you for joining me today. I have a special guest, Anya Rock Basiglia, CEO at Healthy Living with Anya. Anya and I actually go way back from my days in Chicago when I very first started Innerspace. We were in a moms that own business group together, and it was a pretty active group. And I got to know Anya, and we reconnected in San Diego at an event a few weeks ago. And I said, Anya, you need to come on the podcast because my audience is all entrepreneurs who could use a little healthy living inspiration, especially this time of the year. So we're going to talk about healthy living, mindset, and kind of the softer things. I do a lot of how-tos on the podcast, but I love to get into the mindset piece. And those of you who listen know that I'm a pretty healthy person, super into CrossFit. And now, well, we'll get into that in a minute. Anya, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's so great to be here.
Anya is starting her own podcast soon, and so her audio is fabulous. She has a new microphone. Most of my guests have, like, you know, Apple AirPods that they're using, so this is a special treat. And she is hanging out in Chicago. Do you have snow? Is it freezing there?
It is very cold, but no snow.
Okay.
We've had rain,
yeah,
gray.
Right.
You know,
the Chicago winter style.
Standard Chicago.
Yep. Okay. So we are going to talk about a few things today. Tell me, before we dive into Anya's background, which is super interesting, tell me what inspired you to do the work that you're doing today?
Really just my own experience and living. You know, I was a yoga teacher and an actress and have been in the health and wellness field for 20 years. And I think it's just at the base of everything we do. So really wanting to connect with more people and share the philosophy that healthy living doesn't have to be drudgery. It doesn't have to be boring. My husband is an amazing chef and sommelier. And, you know, I am talking about healthy habits and mindset. And I actually think it all comes together for a holistic, joyful life. And that really is what inspires me to keep moving forward. And so I hope to inspire others to do the same.
We should note that if you follow Anya on Instagram, she has an excellent blend of Anya working out with her personal trainer, Anya eating a big steak and a glass of red wine with her husband. It's very balanced.
It's true.
I respect that. Totally. Well, so you have a unique background. Tell us a little bit about you and sort of the evolution of your own entrepreneurial life.
Yeah. So as I said, I was a yoga teacher and an actress. And 13 years ago, I started a business with Arbonne, which is a network marketing business in the health and wellness field, as a way to, you know, help fund my passions without a paycheck, which acting and yoga both are. And that was really my, you know, the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. I learned so much about being in business and marketing and continued to go down the path of health and wellness, and specifically was really interested in nutrition. So I do a lot of working with people on our nutrition side. And about a year and a half ago, I was certified as a health coach and thought maybe I wanted to dive deeper into that. And then through just kind of following some tugs, I had been reading and following Brendon Burchard and had an opportunity to go to his certification to be a high performance coach, and really went with the intention of, you know, probably coaching the people within my organization, but came out really, I say, with my head spinning, just sort of opened up this whole other side of what I found to be, you know, a really rewarding experience to coach women in particular about the mindset and this blend of high performance, meaning really that we show up in all the areas of our life with excellence. So if you are, you know, killing it at work, or you are grinding in your entrepreneurial venture and your home life is crumbling, that's not high performance. Really, it is a holistic viewpoint. And from that, I began to really kind of bring the two together and figure out who are the people that I want to really impact the most. And that is really entrepreneurs, specifically women, because that's my experience. But I think some of the, you know, the conversations are not specific to gender, but many are, as moms balancing the entrepreneur world and, you know, wearing a lot of hats. Just being able to share the insights and lessons that I've had along the way has been really rewarding.
So this is sort of manifested most recently into a program you run called Align and Design, which I love. I love the idea of that we design our own lives. I was introduced to that concept when I first started working with a coach years ago. And, you know, she made this point that like 99% of people kind of don't think that way, right? Like, think about designing your day or the fact that you can really shape your life and create what you want, and spending some dedicated time focusing on that really through your entire lifetime can be so rewarding. And most of us don't dedicate that time. So, you know, you're sort of trying to help facilitate this work for a group of folks who want to live, you know, that kind of aligned life. What does that look like? And what are the kinds of things that you work with them on? And you also, we talked when we were together about kind of this helping them find this space between hustle and flow. Like, as entrepreneurs, we always feel like we have to be in the hustle, but to your point, trying to keep everything together and balance and spend time with family. And what does that look like in the work that you do and how you help people?
Yeah. So I designed this course, Align and Design, because I was personally interested. And I feel like I always think that when something is on my mind, there must be someone else who is going through it, right? What is personal is universal. We learn that in acting. And I do really feel that we, you know, sometimes we feel like life is happening to us, but when we take the time to pause and really change our mindset, maybe change the lens through which we're looking, we realize that life is happening for us, and we do have the time and the energy. We can co-create really this experience. And the alignment piece is so important. That's why I really wanted to talk about aligning before we design, because it's about really listening to our intuition. And we're often looking for external validation, resources, which have a lot of value, but we all have an innate sense of what's right. And sometimes when we are pushing and there's definitely a time to be, you know, grinding and hustling and going and stretching and reaching. And then there is a time to be in flow and to retreat and to rest. And that's really hard for entrepreneurs. It's really hard for entrepreneurs. So really just giving, you know, these moms, these entrepreneur women, the permission to take a step back and look and say, what is it I really want? What's my mission? Why am I doing this business? What, you know, why did I create this entrepreneurial endeavor that I have started? And what keeps me going? Because sometimes the reason we start a business is not the reason we keep it going. And so as we head into, especially these more demanding seasons of life, what is beneath all of that? And when we take a step back and look at the different hats we're wearing and the different priorities and the different, I do something called dump, delegate, and defer, where I ask my clients to really take a look at all of their different roles and all the tasks and start to create a list of things you can dump and delegate and defer. And that can also, for entrepreneurs and maybe especially for women, it can be really hard to ask for help and to admit that done is better than perfect. And yes, you could do it all and you probably would do it better than anyone else, but letting go of some of that control ultimately allows you to scale in whatever you're doing, whether it's to hire a VA or, you know, just ask the people who are already in your life for help. It's actually really empowering and it creates space. And that's where we start to listen for the limiting beliefs that come up and acknowledge them and maybe rework them. And then, you know, are able to design how we want to live day to day.
I love that framework. It's amazing how stuck we can get on thinking and telling the stories about what we need to do. I had one this week. I have a really busy week working on a big project, and I was not using this framework, but sort of desperately in my head on Sunday, trying to figure out how am I going to get through this week and how am I going to sort of, I guess, looking for things to dump. Like I need to get some things off of my plate. And I tell myself this story about cooking for my family. Like my husband is not a cook. So I do the cooking in my next life. I'm going to marry your husband. No. And I have a really high bar for, you know, healthy meals for dinner. Like I don't order out because nothing sort of meets that bar. And so I cook a lot, and cooking takes a bunch of time because you have to plan and cook. And so this week I was like, I am not going to cook. I will find a way, like sort of the, I guess, delegating. So we have this program called Good Eggs. And I was like, I'm going into the prepared section. I know it's going to be more expensive. I am going to order meals for the week. And that's what I did. And it's been so much easier. But it's like, I really had to fight with that. Like, no, I spend, you know, an hour and a half cooking and cleaning up after dinner and, you know, or force my husband to help with some of those chores, the delegating, I guess, again, a little bit more. But it's funny how we get into these routines that don't necessarily serve us. And it's hard to, you need a framework and a little, and some outside support sometimes to get out of them.
Yeah. And sometimes just having some perspective of, you know, someone else to say, it's okay to let go of that. And it right. might only be for a season.
That's what I thought. I was like, it's not going to kill anyone. Or that's, I had to talk myself, me and my little voice in my brain, your family will not fall apart, right? If it's not the healthiest food they've eaten for an entire week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we tend to want to put ourselves last on the list, but sometimes doing those things, delegating or creating more space, really frees up creative space for us to thrive instead of feeling like we're drowning in this, you know, season of overwhelm, right? Which is ultimately a choice. I think overwhelm is you've said yes to too many things. And we have to remember that when we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else. And we just take on too many things and we don't want to disappoint people. So there, it's kind of a little bit of a snowball. But if we just take a moment, and I really, again, go back to this sense of intuition, and I ask my clients and people that I work with to really call on their highest self. Like, what is an empowered action that your highest self can do to work through this situation? Whether it's, you know, not knowing how to manage all of the tasks of home and business. You know, we've got the end of the decade coming and all of these big goals, and we have travel and we have holidays and we have kids and kids get sick and we have all the things that can go wrong might. And so how do we navigate that in a really, you know, positive way? And part of that is just creating space and saying no to some things and being okay with disappointing some people, sending a card instead of going to the party, because it's okay.
When you talk about flow, is the saying no to things and making those trade-offs part of that finding the flow? Like, what does flow look like?
Yeah, I think flow is also a feeling. I think flow is that innate sense of knowing. I really believe in this idea of expansion and contraction. You know, things move in seasons, the flow being a part of, you know, maybe you have a couple of days or weeks that you're really on, and then there's this lull, and sometimes we get a little spooked by the lull. But if we learn to expect the lull and maybe even celebrate it, know that a Sunday at home in your pajamas is exactly what you need. You don't need to be finding things for your kids to do or going to the next thing. That we then also know that the next expansion is coming. And it's a lot about just trusting in the sense of fluidity
Yes. So I'm thinking about how it's funny how I get that uncomfortable with the flow sometimes. Exactly your example, when we don't have plans on the weekends, and we're hanging out and watching a movie and you feel like, shouldn't we be with friends? Shouldn't we be running errands? Shouldn't we be doing cleaning out the garage? Like, hard to just enjoy that time. Like, from a business perspective, how would you have an entrepreneur think about sort of the ROI of that flow sometimes? Because I think we kind of run on this sense of, if we're not constantly sort of in that like anxious go, go, go mode, then we're not doing enough.
Yeah, I think it seems counterintuitive, but if you have, you know, you are a CrossFitter and you know how important rest and recovery is.
Yes.
And sometimes it takes discipline to take those days, but you come back stronger. And it's really the same thing with the entrepreneur business world, is that, you know, when we take time to unplug, to let go, to let down, to watch some TV or read a book or get into nature, we let the systems kind of slow down and quiet, so that when you come back, you have more energy and you'll probably get more done in a shorter amount of time, ironically, because, you know, if you know you're running low on gas and you just run it to the bottom, you're anxious and, you know, it just isn't working. So you really do have to plug in or in most of our cases, unplug, right? Creating.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And I'm a big, you know, I talk about energy a lot with my clients, and in my course, talk about the habits that are supporting this intuition and this idea of like, how do I know when to hustle and when to flow?
Mm.
What is that space? And it's different for all of us, and it's different. It's a constantly moving target. What it requires is us to get tuned into our own innate sense of, and there's no wrong answer, and it's okay, right? Maybe I push and then I think, oh, maybe next time I won't. Or maybe I take a night off it's just really sort of trusting ourselves a little bit more and creating or setting up some routines and habits that support the energy that's really at the base of everything we do.
What are some of the routines or kind of interventions that you use or that you suggest for the folks that you work with to try to find that flow or be a little bit more balanced?
So I think I like to talk about bookending the day. So the way that we wake up and the way that we go to sleep are really important. We know the science and the research has shown us that looking at our screens right before bed interrupts our sleep. So creating discipline around turning the phone off 30 minutes before bed, reading a book, doing some journaling, you can have some gratitude or some prompts, and then how you start the day. So again, my goal, and I'm not a perfectionist, I mean, I am a perfectionist in some ways, but it is one of my life's work to sort of release that perfectionism and know that we are all perfectly imperfect, and we connect when we just admit that some days it works great, some days it doesn't. But I have started over the last 2 years a routine of waking up at 5:30, which is an hour before my kids are up. And I do a 10-minute meditation, and I do 3 pages of journaling. So the artist's way was kind of the inspiration for that. It's just brain dumping for 3 pages. And then I do affirmations, and I don't usually get time to read. So I instead prioritize just doing a little bit of my planner, just like, what are my 3 big tasks for the day? And instead of reacting and kind of being, I used to be like the wake up and keep up, I'm now waking up with intention. I'm creating the energy, the mood, and the purpose for my day. And then I'm ready to receive my kids and start the morning with them. And it's really been a whole game changer for me. And I think just carving out space for intentionality in the beginning of your day, before you check email, before you start responding to everyone else's agenda, you decide, what's my energy for the day? How do I want to show up for my family? What do I want to accomplish? Who do I want to be today? And then go forward with that. It just, that small routine has had a massive shift for me in my life.
Yeah. How do you resist getting out of bed and working? Like, are you pretty consistent with your routine?
Yeah. So I do it every morning, and now my husband gets up with me. And I remember we were with friends and I was talking about this idea of owning my morning. It was really important to me to own the morning. And he was like, I want to own the morning. It's just a discipline. It's really tempting. And like I said, I don't do it all the time, you know, flip on social media, start scrolling,
yeah,
jump into an email. But I think if you have enough times, you know what that's like, right? When that email lands and you open it and suddenly everything in your body is responding and your brain is going and it's just totally hijacked your day or your morning. So just leaving it, just saying, I'm not going there yet. And I definitely have mornings where I lie in bed and think like, I'd rather sleep. I don't really want to get up. Mel Robbins is a wonderful author and coach. She has a book she wrote about, she just says 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get out of bed.
Oh,
and
that's
it. You just think of yourself like the rocket ship. And literally I'd lie in bed and go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, throw the covers off, get up. Cause once you're in motion, you're fine. Once you're out of the
totally.
Bed.
Totally. Yep. Yes. I had one of those this morning. Just get up. It'll be fine. Yeah. I rarely am tempted to stay in bed, but more have the like must be, you know, operating at full speed the second I get up. So I have trouble easing into the day. It's either work or workout. Most of the time it's workout, but even that feels, I'd like to get to a place where I could warm up to that a little bit more and be a little bit more mindfully intentional. I think there are a lot of benefits to exercising first thing in the morning, but, and some of those are mental and physical.
Yeah.
But I love the, you know, really plan the day and be intentional. And I do have the habit of picking that phone up. I don't have all of my email accounts on my phone anymore, though. That was a big step that I took. I just said, I can't have the temptation. It's gone. I can't. Yeah. Which helped a lot. So.
Yeah. And having cues for yourself is really, again, there's a lot of science and habits that if you have a cue. So if you think about how much of our life is unconscious, right? We drive our car without thinking about it. When you were first driving, you were like checking everything. But now we do a lot of that unconsciously.
Yep.
And it's because one thing cues the next. And so if you set things up for yourself, like I have a little routine before I go to bed of making sure my cup is out, my tea is ready,
You know,
the water is full, my headphones are out. And then I really and truly look forward to that time of day now. I know meditation is daunting for people. A lot of moms say like, I could never, I'm so tired. My caveat is always like, if your kids aren't sleeping through the night yet, maybe you don't want to add this. Yeah.
Not a good season for you yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This might not be your time, but you could find that time somewhere still, right? This idea that we can't possibly find 10 minutes for ourselves is just because we don't prioritize ourselves. And it's, you know, there are so many apps you can listen to now. I put on big headphones. So if my kids do come down, they know I'm meditating.
Right. Visual like, cue. I can't hear you. Can't see me.
And I just, you know, sit night tall and I have my tea ready. So when my 10-minute meditation is finished, my tea is ready to drink. Like I just have all these little routines in place that help me to cue the next thing. So I think setting up and experimenting and knowing, you know, maybe it feels great to do your meditation before you go to bed or your affirmations right before. Maybe for you, waking up, getting out of the house to the gym is key. And then, you know, setting some time later before you start your work day. Or I think it can be look different for everybody, but experimenting with those early morning habits.
Oh yeah, I love the cues. And I think maybe it was you who told me to read Atomic Habits. Did we talk about that when we were together? It's my new favorite book. I talk about it constantly. Anybody who's listening is probably like, will you shut up about Atomic Habits? I'm moving through it really slowly because it's so useful. Like the cues, I'm like, okay, I need to study this and get these set up because it's so, right. It makes so much sense.
And I love when he talks about like the habits of our day lead to the person we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So really thinking about almost reverse engineering. Like I want to be, you know, happier. For me, it actually, a lot of my meditation and morning routine started because I really felt super aggravated all day and I felt reactive.
I can't imagine seeing you. You seem so not aggravated. It's working.
I felt like I was always irritated with my kid. You know, it was that constant keeping up with what life was throwing at me. And I had read the 5 a.m. Club, Robin Sharma, lots of, you know, The Miracle Morning is another one about this, you know, CEOs, the top performers in the world, wake early and have a routine. And finally, I just thought, well, I better throw my hat in the ring and see what happens.
Totally.
And it really is a game changer for me. And I know, like, if I sleep in on a weekend, not a big deal. But I know that, you know, on the days that I really want to be on my A game and I'll wake up on vacation, I do actually wake up on the weekends and still do my routine.
I know, well, they say this about writing. It's like, if you create a habit, you should do it all the time. When you're on vacation, when you're, and as much as you can. I mean, to your point, if you fall off the wagon, get back on. But mostly consider it an everyday habit. Don't take time off when you're on vacation. And, you know, if you've gone for a week, then you start to lose those habits. So try to maintain. I mean, I exercise when I'm on vacation. Yeah, I guess that's my morning routine.
Like everything, I think we're in this, we sort of live in a world of extremes. And to circle back a little to the healthy living, it is all of these small daily habits create a healthy, happy, more joyful, vibrant life. And that is what we all want to live. When we're on vacation, like you said, you know, you can find me on Instagram drinking a big glass of wine, enjoying a beautiful dinner. I'm also moving and finding ways to exercise, and I choose to eat. You can still make healthy choices when you're eating out. For me, a glass of wine is still, it's an indulgence, but it's, as long as I'm not overdoing it. If we were in Europe, they'd be saying, like, that's a part of your healthy living as well. I often ask myself, you know, if I were to look back and say, you know, oh, I never touched a glass of wine, or I never, you know, did anything. I have an adventurous spirit in me. So I think I feel like it's always about finding the balance and the integration of both sides, of knowing that I want to have adventures and I want to live vibrantly and I want to try things. And I also want to feel good and have great energy. So finding that for myself, and each one of us has to do that.
Yeah, I love that. What else about hustle and flow and aligning and designing should we talk about before we wrap up?
Well, we're headed, you know, well, we're talking in the holiday season.
We are.
And this is, we're heading into January, where everybody starts to make New Year's resolutions. But I think that every day is a chance to start over and just add in the healthy habits that create the kind of person you want to be, so that you live the kind of life that you want to live. And none of us are guaranteed more than today. So knowing and trying to celebrate and to live in gratitude and to really enjoy the fruits of the day, and also be listening, you know, for when is it the time to go? When is it the time to push in something? And also knowing when it's time to let go of things, right? Everything, people are transitioning, people are pivoting. We're letting go of old things. We're heading into a new decade. And sometimes, I was just talking to a friend about how hard it is to let go, even though we know that what's on the other side of that fear is always a greater expansion. And yet, if we're not living in that intuitive space, if we're not giving ourselves grace, we can kind of buy into the fear and the comparison. And so really, I think my big message is just at this time of year, and always as we head into the new decade, really trusting that what people are looking to connect with is authenticity. And that true authenticity is about really knowing for yourself what is the balance of hustle and flow. And that might be different tomorrow, might be different on January 2nd, but honoring that, celebrating that. And then by doing that, you inspire people around you to also not just grind, but to know, yeah, you know what? It's cool. I'm going to take a weekend. I'm going to take a day off. Oh my gosh. Almost unheard of this time of year, but it's important.
It is. Yes. You've given me lots of food for thought about routines and hustle and flow. So speaking of your Instagram feed and your glasses of wine, if folks want to follow you online and use you for some ongoing inspiration, where can they find you?
So I'm on the gram at Anya, which is A-I-N-E. It's Irish. _. So it's Anya _healthy living. And I'm running a 5-day challenge in the new year. And I would love folks to join if you are interested in laddering on some healthy habits to help you in your most vibrant new decade. And you can find me at anyarock.com/manage the damage.
I love that. We'll include that link in the show notes and Anya's Instagram handle as well, in case you're driving around and need to reference it. Anya, thank you so much for joining us and sharing some of your perspective. I think it's, not to overuse the word healthy, but healthy for us this time of year to be intentional and think about some of the routines and perspective we want to have going into the new year. So this has been really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.